I think we're well on our way back on track. I hear sometimes, as I was talking to the secretary earlier about, you know, assaults are up. When I first came here, this jail was locked down. Inmates didn't move anywhere. We didn't have rec. We didn't have no outside, nobody doing anything. Now we have inmates going to school. We have outside work details. We have road crews. We have inmates going to the gym, playing basketball. We have rec in the day rooms. We have TVs. So, you know, when you put 3,000 men together, you know, changing weekly, it's going to happen sometimes. We're getting guys from the streets that, you know, we're not really familiar with. So, overall, the place is clean. As you can see, we've been paying here for a year. It's you walk around. It's quiet. So, it's coming along.
We've heard a lot about improvements today, but what would you say remains the most persistent problem that you are continuing to work on, or that you would identify as a work in progress that you haven't gotten a handle on?
The only thing I would say is old jail. The infrastructure is daily falling apart. We're maintenance issues, piping, heating, things like that. It's just an old facility, and we do the best with it we can.
I'll post this question later to Secretary Maynard, but how much life does this facility have left in it? I mean, before you're making improvements, it's like, you know, like you fix an old house. At some point, you're going to have to sell the house or anything like that. How much life is left in this facility?
I'm going to have to pass that down.
Ms. Foxwell, how different now is the screening for correctional officers when they enter the facility? Because the indictment laid out in April laid out a bunch of problems with that.
Well, as you see, we have the screening down front. That's for non-custody people, medical people to come in, nurses, things like that. Before, when you came in, people would be lined up down Eger Street trying to get screened. It was just too overwhelming for the people that are assigned that task. So basically, we got another scanner. We brought that up by the administrative office. Officers in uniform come up there, get screened. As I said, there's a camera there. We watch the process, either I or chief or the major, come in the next day. We look back through the weekends to make sure everybody's following the policies that we have in place. Also, you see time clocks. Before, as it said in indictments, officers were coming and going as they pleased. Now everyone has to punch in. We record that. We can monitor that. It's a better policy and procedure.
Do they have to take their shoes off now?
Yes, we have a random computerized intense search done daily on between 30 and 50 staff. Basically what that is, every person that works here is assigned a number, including myself. The day before I leave, I'll give the chief or the major tomorrow's list of who will get an intense search. When those people come in, they get the regular search. They're also taken into another room. If it's a female, it's a female supervisor. If it's a male, it's a male supervisor. They're actually given a more intense search. They remove probably their outside garment, their fresh search. They remove their shoes, things like that.
Ms. Foxwell, city police, during their last roundup of suspected VGF gang members, said they complained that a lot of guys go in unaffiliated here and come out a gang member. Now, is there anything, an institution like this, I know the nature of it is short term, is there anything that can be done about that, if in fact that's true?
Yeah, I think it's not uncommon in prisons and jails for offenders to come in who are not affiliated just for protection. They sort of run with this group. They don't really get, they're not validated gang members, they're just associates. So it does happen, but when they leave, they may or may not be affiliated. So it does not create a lot of new gang members. It may create some associates, but not gang members.
How big of a presence is BGF still here? I mean, the indictments, or did it wipe out the BGF completely?
No. BGF, my understanding, in the city of Baltimore, is the major gang. And the population here is from Baltimore. So that's the major gang that comes in. So they're still coming through all the time. You can't preclude that. The gang members out there arrested come through here.
How has the hiring process changed as far as the situation with Tavon White? We know that two of his children's mother worked here. How is the hiring process making sure that people who are working as correctional officers in this facility are are not related or have children with any of the inmates.
Right. A lot of the, typically when correctional officers come in, we do the background check, we do all of that research. When officers get compromised, it's after they've worked in a certain place for a period of time. So, and that comes from the association. What Mr. Foxwell is doing here, they're in the process of starting a field training officer program, an FTO program, so that when new officers come in, they are paired with a solid, experienced correctional officer that sort of stays with them, answers the question, and keeps them from getting compromised or into fraternization. So.
It's also important to understand, just for context, in terms of the central region here last year, 80% of the applicants were rejected. So
how many staff members have been terminated since because of this incident?
Probably, I can just give you a rough number. Obviously, 13 initially. There's been something less than 10 beyond that, and there's a lot of cases working now. So.
Is that a concern that there is still some of the same staff members then that are here now and that you might still have the same problems?
Right. Well, we think as we go through, we have, in addition to those that we terminate, there are some who self-select out. They've just, without notice, they leave. We think they, you know, we never know, but we think they may have been affiliated and may decide to move on.
Do you expect more indictments?
From federal task force or
yeah,
from
the task force effort.
Yeah, I think so. And we said that initially when the initial task force made its unsealing of the indictments, that this was 13, but in my opinion, those 13 may have had a supervisor, may have had an accomplice, you know. So we expected from the very beginning that there would be some more. We also created the City Correctional Investigation Unit, the CCIU, and that's in the State's Attorney's Office, the City Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office. And that group is comprised of people from our intel department, people from the state police, people from the State's Attorney's Office, that joint group, and they're looking specifically at Baltimore City Detention Center, this facility. They're also looking at other cases that might be in other jails in the city, the other two jails, or even the correctional facilities in the city. But they are focused on the city, primarily on this unit. They have already had some indictments. They will have more indictments.
Let me get back to my earlier question. You've made a lot of improvements to this facility. You're expecting to make more, but it's an old facility. How
right.
much longer can this facility remain
right.
operational?
This facility is 154 years old, mm-hmm. so it's an old facility. And as you can see, they have been working really hard to maintain what we have, paint, maintenance, day-to-day sanitation, all of that. But there has been interest in the that special joint commission from the legislature the day we were here before, and they toured and you didn't. They have made really some comments, and I don't know, they haven't made their final recommendations, but they sense that this facility has long outlived its usefulness. So at some point, that's why, you know, each time we have an issue, a maintenance issue, we sort of first question we ask is, okay, how much is that going to be worth improving that if it's going to be replaced in several years? So I would, obviously, 150 years is an old, old facility. In due time, this will be replaced.
The cell phone detection system that we saw, when is that going to become operational? I mean, that's still being installed.
Yes, installation is supposed to be completed about the end of November. Then they'll start testing, so sometime in December it should be operational. We have that over at MTC at the penitentiary. Mm-hmm. Be the same thing here. Yes, ma'am.
When I was downstairs waiting to be escorted up here, I noticed that two correctional officers walked around your scanner. One guy went through.
Up front?
The visitor area. Two of them.
Yeah, visitor, right.
Yeah, two of them walked around.
Right.
I don't know if there's another screening area that they
yes.
go through.
Yes, I'll let Mr. Foxwell answer that. Because he.
But do they have to go through both of them, or do they just
they go through, them? The officers go through the one by my office.
Okay.
Plains clothes go down front.
Okay.
Just continue to hear from attorneys, defense attorneys, and they tell us that they're still talking to their defendants from their cells on their cell phones. I mean, is there any guarantee that there's not contraband still in cells or cell phones?
Well, we have a CIT team comes in almost weekly, K-9. The cell phone findings have gone down way low. I can't sit here and say that someone can't, you know, unrealistically get one in, because it can happen, but it's way down.
Is a contraband-free facility possible?
No.
In corrections generally?
No.
No. It's tough. No. It's something common in prisons and jails is constant searching.
Constant searching of employees, constant searching of contract people, constant searching of visitors, attorneys, media, anybody that comes in the facility, there has to be this process of searching, because there are always going to be attempts to bring it in. There are always creative ways to do that. Here in the city, obviously, people throw cell phones over the wall. So those things are always going to happen.
So a jail can never be 100% drug-free?
No. Well, I'd like to see one that is. It's not possible. But all it takes, if it were 100% drug-free, and you came in today with something, and you passed it, all of a sudden, you're back to square one. It's not drug-free.